Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
Good to see you all. We are going to have a great night in church. We're already having a great night in church. I'm just going to speak for a shorter time this evening, and then we're going to do a little bit more worshiping and praying. This is more of an encounter night. And we're really going to pray. I thought it would be great to pray over the vision. And just give us a wave if you're here this morning. Okay, so if you're here this morning. So I'm just going to do some headlines from this morning. And then the whole thing will be available on YouTube and Facebook online. So you can watch it back. But I really wanted to take extra time tonight to pray into what God is going to do. So Father, let's start. If you feel comfortable, why don't you lift your hands? And Father, we just thank you for the vision that you've given this church for the next 12 months and beyond. And Lord, nothing excites me more than to share vision. And Lord, this vision isn't our vision, it's your vision, Father. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would run with it. Lord, we would run and not be weary. Lord, you'd give us the strength we need. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd help us reach more people. You'd help us disciple the people that you've already entrusted us with. You'd help us to love more, care more. Lord, I pray, Lord, that the fruits of the Spirit would be very evident in our lives as we unpack these 4 points in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you guys can find your seats. Nothing excites me more than vision. How do you know? How many know that everything in life requires a vision? What is a vision? A vision describes what can be. Proverbs 29:18 says, without a vision, the people perish. Now, every year, Chantal and I, we like to bring the church something fresh, something new, a new word, a direction, some way that we can really put some momentum behind the vision. The vision of this church has and always will be love in action. That is our mission. That's what really marks us as a church. We believe that we should show Christ's love and put it into action in every sphere of influence that we step into, whether it's in our workplace, our universities, our school. Christ has called us to walk in love. Not just the Bible says, don't just be a clanging cymbal that makes a lot of noise but doesn't do anything, but actually be Christ's hands and feet on this earth. And so we seek God for a word. In 2016 was the first year we launched a Vision Sunday as such. We launched the church in 2014. But in 2016, we had our first Vision Sunday. And our word for the year was strength. We needed some strength. 2017 was breakthrough. 2018 was beyond. And 2019 was release. And so this year, we always go away for a few days and just ask God, what would the word be for our church for 2020? And the word that he gave us, and we're going to declare over this church, is the word build. Build. Everyone say build. God's a builder, and God is building the lives of people in our city and beyond. Matthew 16:18 says, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock, as we saw in that fantastic opener, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the challenges that come against the church, will not prevail against it. And when I talk about church for the next few minutes, I'm not talking about bricks and mortar as such. I'm talking about building the lives of people. And I've got 4 areas that Chantal and I want to just share with you that we believe God has called us as a church in 2020 to build. The first is this. We're going to build a church that reaches the one. The one. As much as numbers excite me, and on the presentation you can watch online, I talk about all the metrics and the salvations and the light bulbs and the wonder and all the things that we've achieved over the last 12 months, because Soul Church isn't a brand. Soul Church is a story, and the story keeps unfolding. And so, but we want to keep moving forward in building a church that reaches the one. You know, there's 903,000 people in Norfolk. That's 903,000 ones. That's not just a cluster, that's individuals. And how do we love others? How do we reach ones? How do we reach the 8 billion people on planet Earth? And Jesus said this, he said, here's a blueprint. He says, Go everywhere in the world, that includes Norfolk, and tell the good news to everyone. So much need, so much hurt, so much brokenness, so much loneliness in the city. God, how do we change it? Does anyone ever just watch the news, walk through Norwich? Does your heart ever get stirred and you think, how do we change this? Do you ever have a conversation with someone and you think, oh my goodness? And the mandate that God sets out is this. I'm going to make it really simple for the church. I'm going to break it down for you. And it's the answer's hiding in that final word. Tell the good news to everyone. This is how we change Norwich. This is how we change the UK. This is how we impact the world, is through every person caring for one. If every person cared for someone, everyone would be cared for. And so as a church, we're kind of laying out this challenge this year, and I'm going to ask the team to hand out. We've got a little gift for you. It's a journal. Inside the journal, on the first page, is the mission for this year, and then we've got a letter from Chantal and I to the church, and we've got some important dates for your diary, and then we've got a few ways that encourage you how to read your Bible and to do a daily personal devotion. But inside the journal, there's a little card, and I want you to take hold of the card. On the front, it's got our theme for the year build, but on the back are four boxes. Who thinks that's a nice gift? Yeah. Our creative team have done a fantastic job putting these together. Would you just say thank you to our creative team, Joyce and Brittany, and all of the team putting together the open and the videos and... So I want you just to turn on the back of this card, which says build on the front. And on the back, the first box in the top left-hand corner, it says building a church to reach the one. I want us to think about who is the one person this year that God is calling me to reach. Now, that one person could be a student at uni, it could be a housemate, it could be a daughter, a son, it could be someone, but you can write one or two or three, how many names you feel like you can care for. But I believe that this year, before we get into any big, marvelous vision, God is requiring us to look out for one. Can you imagine the impact on Norwich if the 1,500 people who call Soul Church home all looked out for, cared for, provided for, prayed for, encouraged one? Can you imagine the impact? And then the knock-on effect of those 3,000 people paid it forward. And so these are little prayer cards that I want you to put somewhere safe inside your Bible. Don't just leave it hanging around. These are something I want you to really take hold of this year. And I want you to place it wherever you go regularly. Put it in on your kitchen fridge. Put it in the bathroom. Put it somewhere we're going to see it regularly. And every time you pick up this card, I want you to say, God, give me an opportunity to help Steve. Give me an opportunity to visit Sue. Give me something, ways I can care for someone. I think this is the mandate. Jesus said, tell the good news to everyone. Focus on one, and I believe we can reach everyone. So the question is this, who is your one? The second area I believe that God has called us to build is building a church to shape the city. We live in a great city, don't we? A scenic city, historic city, a shopper city, Premier League city, still a Premier League city. But it's very easy to forget that we live in a lost city. And Chantal and I are passionate that we are going to reach this city. And our Soul Foundation team do a phenomenal job. They're the outreach arm of our church. They do an incredible job at making Christ tangible to those who are in greatest need. And, you know, conservative estimates tell us that 30% of children in Norwich live below the poverty line. That's an average family of four living on less than £10 a day. £10 a day for food, for rent, for transport. And I believe as a church that we have responsibility to build those people, to build the lives of those in need around us. Reverend Nikki Gumbel said, strong people stand up for themselves, but stronger people stand up for others. You know, if I look at what we've achieved in 2019, it is only just scratching the surface, but the fact is we are doing something. Soul Foundation metrics, we served over 6,000 lunches on a Sunday and on a Friday through our community lunch. 4,630 Soul Street meals served on the streets of Norwich every other Wednesday. 8,840 food parcels redistributed. 1,200 plus presents brought in through the Wonder Tree and distributed to children in need in our city. I think that deserves a round of applause to everyone who's involved through the foundation. And as we mentioned in Heart for the House, we're actively seeking out a soul refuge venue in the city centre. And we're already looking at two or three buildings in the next 3 weeks that we can possibly look at creating a refuge, a drop-in in the city for people to come in on a daily basis. So again, that's another way that you can support us and pray for us in that. And, you know, I want to be known as a church that loves people. I think one of the best compliments that was paid to us as a church was by a taxi driver in our city. And a pastor had come up from Hillsong Conference and wanted just to check out Soul Church on the Sunday and said that he was going to make his own way here from the Holiday Inn up the airport. And when he jumped in the cab, the taxi driver said, well, hey, where do you want to go? He said, I want to go to Soul Church. He goes, oh, I know where that is. They're the church that care for people. And I thought, you know, that is what's going to mark our church. You know, as much as we're known as the sausage roll eating church and, you know, we're known as the church that makes a lot of noise, and we're known as the church that does some crazy things, and we give a sports report and all those things, and I think that's fantastic. And we'll continue to do all the things that you love, but hey, the number one thing is we love people, that Christ's love is in action. We care for people. We are known as the church that cares. We're also known as a church that tells people, come as you are. You don't have to have your life sorted out before you come to Soul Church. You can come with your needs, your baggage, your past. You know, we have all sorts of characters who come through the walls of church. I was reading the EDP just a few weeks ago, and it was either the front page or the second page. It was three of Norfolk's most wanted on the run. So I looked really closely. I thought, I recognize that first one. He comes to our church. And then I looked at the second one. I said, I really recognize him. I baptized him a few weeks ago and he put a light bulb in. And so you know what? Church is attracting all sorts. And don't worry. They're all back safe where they need to be right now. But for me, it's, you know, if Jesus walked on this earth, do you know where he would hang out? The bars. He would hang out helping the needy, the poor, the prostitutes, the broken. That's where Jesus spent his time. And if those, you know, if people come from all different walks of lives, backgrounds, and they can find hope here, they can find help here, that's fantastic. And so we'll be a church that builds the city, shapes the city. You know, I've never, ever felt such an urgency that we need to pray more for our city. And we're going to introduce a segment into the prayer time called God of this city. And God of this city is when we pray at the beginning, we do prayer requests and praise reports. What we want to do is introduce a time where we pray for different neighborhoods, different churches, different communities, the NHS, things. And so as a church, we can come together and let's believe God for transformation in our city. I believe that the church of the living God is the hope of the world and the hope of this city. So number three is this. We're going to build a church that touches the nations. Build a church that touches the nations. Mark 16:15, Jesus speaking again. He says, go into all the world. Often we can live quite just, you know, just very narrow and just looking at our own needs and our own challenges in our own backyard. And there's no doubt about it. We do have challenges in our own backyard. But there's a big world out there with real need. One of the initiatives that we support is Vision Rescue in India. And on Tuesday night, we're going to be speaking live to Biju Thumpi in Mumbai, India, about some of the work that him and his wife and the team out there are doing. But he sent us this story, and they work with street children. If you've ever seen the movie Slumdog Millionaire, you'll get an understanding of kind of the squalor and the challenges that they face. And it says, in April last year, the Vision Rescue community workers were scouting around Mumbai's largest garbage dump, sprawling across 327 acres to find children who were out of school. And we met Adita and Raki, 7 and 4, dressed in rags, playing with bits and bobs they'd scavenged from the heap. The towers of trash reached 20 stories high, featuring everything from rotten vegetables to broken glass. No place for children to play, certainly no place for children to spend all day, every day, while their parents are out laboring for a living. But that was Adita's and Rika's entire childhood, until you reached out with the love to them through Vision Rescue. Soul Church Support enrolled both children into our Beacon Learning Center, their slum communities, and provided them educational materials, a hearty, nutritious meal every day, healthcare assessments, and dental workups. For Raki and Adita, life at home is still difficult. Their home is a semi-built shanty, and it features a table fan and one light bulb, of which run on a stolen electrical line. They pay a hefty fee for polluted drinking water, and their parents work long hours at buffering business to make ends meet. Thank you for gifting Raki and Adita and their mother so many reasons to smile through their desperate poverty. The legacy of your generosity will live for this family for years to come. I don't know about you, but that brings some perspective. And there's no doubt about it, there's some real poverty in the world around us. But the good news is, every month we're able to send much needed funds into Vision Rescue. Every year we're able to send a large sum out of our heart for the house that can build a shanty, build a house, it can build something, help with water, help with education. We can do something to make a difference. And I believe we have a responsibility, whether it's in Mumbai, whether it's in Pakistan, whether it's through the Philippine Outreach Center, whether it's in Guguletu Township in South Africa, or whether it's in Hillsong Israel, we can make a difference to the lives of people who are hurting all around us. Amen. Let me just show you a slide of how much we've given away over the last 12 months. In 2018, we gave away £82,220 through the foundation. In 2019, we gave away £93,000 to local and global initiatives to make a difference. So come on, you guys, give yourselves a hand. Thank you for your generosity. And I'm believing we're going to give over £100,000 away this year. Isn't it awesome to think we're not just receiving, we are actually giving away and we're making a difference. Number four, we're building a church where people find home. Chantal and I are really believing God and trusting God. And before I say this, we took a long time before we reached what we're about to say, because what we're about to say actually doesn't make any sense. But we really feel that 2020 was the year that God has called us to put a spade in the ground on our new site and start building. That's why we've called this year Build. And, you know, now why that doesn't make sense is because the build cost is somewhere between £7 and £8 million. If I just put the figures up, the financial figures of where we're up to right now, 2018, the total money in pledged and through the value of this building was at nearly 3.6 million. 2019, the money in pledged and the value of the building has gone up slightly. We are sitting at around 5.3 million, which, who knows, that is incredible. But it's not the 7 or 8 million, which means, in accountancy terms, there's a black hole. But we're not calling it a black hole, we're calling it a faith gap. And we're believing, as we step out and we keep moving, that God is going to fill the gap, because it's His church, He's building His church. And a really wise man said to me right at the start of this project, I said to him, what happens if we don't have enough money? He says, you never think like that. You just keep moving as if you have every penny in the bank, and you just watch God supply every one of your needs. And so that's what we're doing. We're moving forward, and we've got good people around us. And so we're believing this year's, now there could be some challenges, and you know, they've got to do some digs and some, we're praying that there's no contamination found on the site and things that could set back the build date. But we're moving forward in faith. Are you with us? Five people. We're going to have fun then. We only need three people, two or three. Come on, are you with us this year? And so we've made some new changes to the building to accommodate some more space. And on Tuesday night, part two of Vision Sunday, we're going to be showing you some of those plans. They'll be on display on some easels out in the atrium so you can look at the updated plans. And they're all exciting. Obviously, we have to resubmit those to council, which take time. But the good thing is we'll just keep moving forward. And we're getting quotes from builders for the site. So there's lots and lots of things happening behind the scenes. And let me tell you, it's exciting. It's exciting. We need a new building. The new building is not a luxury anymore. It is a necessity. We've seen the growth in the church over the last few months. And so with all that, we believe that God is calling us to pray more, to pray more. And with a great vision comes a great responsibility. And a vision without prayer is a wasted exercise. We've got to pray. And so we're going to be introducing monthly prayer nights into the church. And these aren't going to be normal prayer nights. These prayer nights, some of them are going to be virtual, which means you're going to be able to join in online at home, okay, just for an hour, praying in your office, praying wherever you are virtually so we can reach more people and help people to connect more. And then we're going to have prayer nights on the Heartsees, prayer nights in the city center, prayer nights on Mousehold Heath, prayer nights in the building. But we really feel this year, if we're going to build, we've got to build some strong prayer into the church. So we're saying, hey, on these special nights, if you can, come out and let's pray. And let's see what happens. And that's why we've given you these devotions. These aren't just notepads to write your groceries in. You can use them for that. Use them for what you want. But we actually want you to pray more. We need to write down what you're believing God for. Write down what God's speaking to you through the Bible. And in there's some little notes to help you read your Bible. We understand sometimes the Bible can be a struggle. And there's different ways, whether it's different versions of the Bible or different ways, whether it's digitally or through paper, but however you feel comfortable. But we want you to be more devoted this year, to build devotion into your everyday life. And we're going to make it as easy as possible for people to pray more. So tonight we want to start that. We want to start by praying and seeking God. And that really is the vision. The vision is, first and foremost, it's the one, it's the city, it's the nations, and it's our new home. And I believe that God's going to give us everything we need to reach that vision. Amen. Amen. Come on, why don't you stand to your feet, and the team are going to come up and we're going to pray a little bit more, and then we're going to worship. And I believe God's going to do something really unique and special in this place tonight. Amen. You know, the heart of God is people. God just loves this earth. He loves people. He loves even the people that we struggle to love. He loves the people that have hurt us. He loves the people we've hurt. God just loves people. And, you know, we wanted the vision this year. As much as we've got big plans and all that, we wanted it to be about the one. Because if all it is just a big building, or, you know, it's got to be about one. It's got to be about that one. And we've all got it. This is where we run with the vision. How do we carry the vision this year? We literally take it seriously. We take it personally. And we say, God, that's just not a name I'm writing on a card, but actually, I commit to your heart. I commit to one this year. And I want you right now just to, maybe you haven't got that one, and you don't need to find that one in your heart right now, but for many of you, you know who that one is. It could be a mom, a dad, a daughter, a son, brother. It could be two. It doesn't really matter about that. But it's, God, I'm committed this year to loving them. I'm committed to writing to them even when they don't write back. I'm committed to remembering them on their birthday. I'm committed to taking them out for coffee. I'm committed to your heart. I want us right now just to respond by saying, I'm in. I'm in. I'm in for one. I want you to lift your hand and you say, I'm in for the one. I'm in for the one. This is how we change Norwich, is everybody cares for someone. We're just going to care and love. We're not going to preach at people. We're not going to force the Bible down their throats. That's not our job. Our job is to literally care and love people. If we can do that, our city's going to be a better place. So Father, you see every hand, or the hands that are raised today, and those hands represent someone. Someone's daughter, someone's son, someone's mom, someone's dad. And Lord, right now, I pray that you would give us the strength this year to keep loving. You'd give us the courage this year to keep believing the best in people, even when they're at their worst. God, you would give us the strength this whole year to keep showing your grace towards them, your love towards them. And so, Father, I thank you that this year your heart is the one. Tell everyone. Lord, I pray that we would see such a harvest of souls, Father God. Such a harvest of people as we make it, we take it seriously, the responsibility of looking out for and loving the one. That's your heart, in Jesus' name. Come on, let's sing this once more. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, why don't you pray for your one right now? All to him I flee.
I'm going to stay in this incredible atmosphere. This is Vision Sunday. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, which is in the Bible, there's a story of a moment when a guy called Isaiah, he has a vision of heaven. He sees something. A vision starts with something you see. He sees the glory of God fill the temple, but then he hears something. He hears a voice, and the voice says, "Who will go? Who will go?" Then Isaiah makes a decision. He said, "I will go. I will go." And God is constantly asking of his people, "Will you go?" And there are certain moments when it's not only seeing a vision, but it's about hearing that voice. That deep down in your heart, you know that God is calling you as an individual to give everything. It's easy to sing "All to Jesus, I surrender." It's another thing to give your life to him. There are some people in this room, and the voice has been speaking to you. Maybe it's some of our young people this week, a youth or a young adults. You're in that room over there. The heavens were opened and a voice said, "Will you go?" Or maybe you've known for many years that God has called you to give your life to serving him. I heard that voice at the age of 15. And I was ruined forever. I just knew that I was on this planet to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with the rest of my life. Some of you are in this place. Not everyone, but some of you. You know that voice has been saying, "Will you go? Will you go?" We would love to pray for those of you that just know in your heart God is calling you to give everything to serve him. I'm going to ask everyone just to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm only going to ask this once. If you're in this room and you know that voice has been calling to you and you've made that decision tonight, "I will go." If that's you, then very quickly lift up your hand. Come on, right now, lift it up. If that's you, you're saying, "God, I will go. I will give my life to you." Just lift it up so I can see it. Thank you, sweetheart. It's beautiful. Come on, there's lots of people. Thank you, sweetheart. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have you guys, or anyone that wants to join, to come and stand at the front here. We're going to worship, but we want to pray for you, because I'm believing this can be a defining moment. You might just see the hand of a young person, but you know what God sees? God sees nations. God sees possibility. God sees potentially thousands that are within these individuals. So if you really believe that, "All to Jesus, I surrender," then come on, you come out, and then our pastors, our team, we're going to come and lay hands on you and pray that this is going to be a defining moment in your life. Come on, let's worship together.
There's definitely a sense of God moving here this evening. We're going to keep singing in just a moment. James 4:3 says, "You do not have because you do not ask." And we've been talking about praying for the one, but I wonder if there was one thing, one area of your life that you needed God to move in. I want you to take this really personally. Bring it all the way back to you. If God could do one thing in your life, I'm not talking about six numbers and a bonus ball. That's not what I'm talking about, because that would be the start of your problems, not the end of them. I'm talking about what would be the one thing that if God could move right now that you'd have. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is in Ephesians 3:20. It's going to come up on the screen behind us. And it says, "Now unto him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask for, according to the power that works within us." I want you to look at that word, beyond. Then I want you to read this backwards. God wants to go, whatever you're thinking about your request, God wants to go beyond that. Now I want us to take one word back on that. God wants us to go abundantly beyond. Then I want us to go back even more. God wants to go more beyond abundantly and more. And then God wants to go far more abundantly beyond. So what was that one thing that you're going to ask for? You know, I read this story this morning in one of the services, but I'm going to read it again because it really encouraged me. Former pro golfer Arnold Palmer once played a series of exhibition matches in Saudi Arabia. The king was so impressed that he proposed to give Palmer a gift. Palmer said, "It really isn't necessary, Your Highness. I'm honored to have been invited." "I would be really upset," replied the king, "if you would not allow me to give you a gift." Palmer thought for a moment and said, "All right, how about a golf club? That would be a beautiful memento of my visit to your country." The next day, delivered to Palmer's hotel was the title to a golf club. Thousands of acres, trees, lakes, clubhouse, and so on. The moral of the story of this is this: in the presence of the king, don't ask for small gifts. You know, the king is here tonight. Come on, I want us, don't be British, because the British don't like to ask. We like to complain. I want you to ask God right now for that one thing. For some of you, you're in debt. And because of the shame of debt, we don't think God will help us out. Do you know, if your child was in debt and you had the ability to help him out, who knows, you would do that as a parent. Even though your child had got himself into that situation, as a parent, who would help your child out? Do you know, your Heavenly Father, he can see all the silly mistakes we've all made. He says, "I still love you enough to get you out of the predicament you got yourself into. It's called grace." It doesn't matter whether it was a self-inflicted situation or it's just the circumstances of life. Tonight, God wants to get people out of trouble. He wants to bless people. Some of you are sitting there going, "I'm too old to get married." You're not in God's book. There's no age limit on miracles. God can do anything. If Sarah in the Bible can have a kid at 80, you can get married at 40 or 50 or 60. I would love to marry a couple in their 70s. I think that would be the most amazing thing. So just put that scripture up. Beyond abundantly, more and far. Far more abundantly beyond. Now, so whatever you thought God could do, further, more abundantly and beyond. That's what your Heavenly Father is capable of. Now, all that's left for us to do is ask Him. In the presence of the King, nothing is off the table if you dare ask. I'm going to pray a really brave prayer. Our church will be paid off in full by the time we turn the key. Now that's really brave, because I'm like, God, we could just go to the bank, but I'm going to be believing in. Now, what are you going to be believing God for? Who wants to get married? Give me a wave. You want to get married? Have a look around. It might be a good time. Okay, if you want to get married, if you want to get married, that's cool. God can handle that. Who wants to be free from sickness this year? Yeah, you want to be free from sickness? Far more abundantly beyond. All right, who wants to be out of debt this year? Who wants to be out of debt? Far more abundantly beyond. Stop putting limits on a God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond. Come on. Come on. Who cares about the clock? You guys watch box sets till midnight. Honestly, you chew through series like there's no tomorrow. We need to chew through church. This ain't a TED talk. This is a move of the Holy Spirit. And if you want God to do far more abundantly above and beyond, I want you to step out right now. I want you to step out of your seat. If you need a miracle, if you need a husband, if you need a wife, if you need something to be moved from your life, come on, come on, let's believe for the supernatural tonight. Hallelujah. Just a moment, Rach is going to come up and we're going to pray the most important prayer of the night, which is when people find Jesus, which is what it's all about. Lost people finding hope, but really just a bit of an odd one, but I just want to pray tonight that people would find freedom from habits, destructive habits. You know, one of the things I've seen, and you know, I still feel young, but I've been full-time in ministry now for 20 years. It seems a long time to do what I'm doing, but one of the things I have seen more than anything is the power of destructive habits in people's lives. And what destructive habits do is it leads to guilt and shame. And eventually people, they move back out the door. And, you know, God wants to break destructive habits in people's lives. And that habit could be too much drink, could be smoking the wrong things, it could be a whole lot of things. But things that are destructive, you know what they are, I don't need to go into them because you know what they are. It could be something that you've struggled with since you were at high school. But I believe tonight God can remove them from people's lives. And you can be battling with them. But tonight, I remember moments where things have been broken off my life. And whatever it is, it could be pornography. It could be an addiction in your life which you know is not bringing the best out of you. What is a destructive habit? It's after it's finished, you've had the fix, you feel guilty. That's what a destructive habit is. Tonight, God wants to remove guilt and shame, and in replace of that area, that need, he wants to fill with love. And here's the good news. There's no shame here. Shame comes from the enemy. Love comes from God. And so tonight, just with every head bowed, every eye closed, you're saying, I've been battling this thing. And it's destroying me. It's destroying my personality. It's destroying who I am as a person. Could be in so many different areas, but tonight God wants to build strength into this area of your life. If you're saying, John, I've been battling with something, tonight I want to break it in Jesus' name. Just lift up your hand right now all over this room. Say, God, I want to break this habit. That's all right. It can be big, it can be small, but God knows. I really believe God wants to break self-harm in this place tonight. The area of self-harm. You've been battling with self-harm. God wants to break it in Jesus' name. You can put your hands down. We're going to worship one more time. But I want to pray right now. Father God, you love us so much. You love us so much and you care for us because we are your children. And just naturally when we see our children upset and hurting themselves and making poor choices, Lord, it hurts you too. So tonight, I pray, Lord, that you would help every person in this room that's struggling with destructive habits. And they know what they are, Lord, and you know what they are. And Father, tonight, I pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would break those things off their lives in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I pray that you'd break addictions from people's lives. I pray that you'd break the power of alcoholism. You'd break the power of nicotine. You would break the power of cannabis over people's lives. You would break those things that are causing harm and destruction. I pray right now for those who are watching online. I pray by the power of Jesus, you would loose freedom into people's minds. Those who are battling with addictions online, you would break gambling addictions. You would break sexual addictions. You would break the things that are causing them harm in Jesus' name. and you would build strength into their minds, strength into their bodies. Lord, I thank you, Lord. Lord, that you want us to walk in freedom. Father, you want us to walk, Father, with a sound mind in Jesus' name. So I speak freedom right now over people's addictions, over people's habits right now. Now tonight, right living begins with right believing. That's what we do this. So it begins with right believing. So you've got to walk out of this room saying, I am free from my addiction. You've got to start confessing it. I am free. I am free from my addiction. I want you to start confessing it. Because right living, you can only live right if you believe right. It starts with belief. So tonight, the Bible says, who the Son sets free, that's Jesus, sets you free, is walking in freedom indeed. So tonight, every person in this room, you've responded to that, you are walking in freedom as you leave this room. And I'm going to believe that next week and the week after, and the week after that, we're going to hear stories of people who are broken free from destructive habits. Because God wants you to live in freedom. Amen. Amen. Come on, Rach. We're going to pray over one more group of people and then we're going to go out with some worship. Amen.
What an incredible atmosphere. Presence of God is here, and I was stood there a moment ago praying for some people, and I just felt such an immense sense of God's love, the Father's love for his children. And if I feel that, how much more does he feel that for each and every one? And I said at the outset tonight, I said, and we sang it, that every heart would be drawn closer to him. And in a room of this size, there are some of you, maybe down at the front, maybe you've already responded to something else, but you know your heart is not yet connected to the one that gave you life, the source of life, the one that loves you with an unconditional, never-ending love. You see, there's something in each one of our hearts and our souls that longs for eternity, that longs to belong. It's a kind of a homesickness of the soul that many try and fill with legacy, with a lucky win, with material possessions, with even human love. And things can go right, things can go wrong, and they can get to the end of their lives never finding what they've worked so hard to try and achieve. But the only answer to knowing the longing of the soul is knowing the one who created us and made us and loves us and knows you more than you know yourself. A love that is more unconditional than a mother, that will stick closer than a brother. St. Augustine said, our hearts are truly restless till they find its rest in thee. Our world is looking for peace of mind like never before. And if you're here tonight, and you haven't yet made your peace with God, and you haven't said yes to him coming into your heart. I prayed that prayer when I was just a little girl. I said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I want to serve you. I want to love you. I want to know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. I want to have an assurance that I'm your child. It's as simple as that. And we're going to pray a simple but a powerful prayer right now. And I feel that some of you might even be sitting down, and God sees you and he knows you and he loves you. And tonight is your night to say yes to Jesus. In a moment, I'm going to ask that you raise your hand after three. And by raising your hand, you signify, you say, hey, Rachel, yes, I don't yet have an assurance of knowing Jesus. I don't yet know that he's in my heart. I don't have a daily relationship with him. I haven't got that faith that I see a lot of people around me have. Or maybe you've once served God and loved him, but you've got cold in your heart and you've been disappointed and you've walked away. Your relationship with God has been a thing of the past, but you want to bring it into the present. So could I ask that every head be bowed and every eye closed to give each other privacy? This is between you and God. I want you to look into your heart. Are you close to God tonight? Because if you're not, this might be your opportunity to say, yes, I'm coming back to God. Or yes, I want to have an assurance that I am saying yes to Jesus, to sins forgiven, to purpose and meaning, and for a hope beyond the grave. I am saying yes to peace of mind. I am saying yes to someone who will walk with me and be with me every day of the rest of my life. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand up after three, high enough and long enough for me to see. I'm not going to call you out or embarrass you. There's already some hands going up. But I want to know who to include in this prayer. If that's you from the front down here, maybe a friend brought you. Maybe you've come back and you haven't been here in a while. Maybe you come every week, but you've never yet prayed that prayer and really, really meant it from the bottom of your heart. If that's you after three, one, two, three. This is the greatest time. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you over there. Thank you. Thank you, guys. God is seeing hearts. I'm seeing hands. So many of you raised hands. Know that God is seeing your heart and he's drawing you close to himself. Right now, a miracle is happening. So can we say this prayer? If you raised your hand, say this prayer together with me and mean it from the bottom of your heart. Put your hand on your heart if you want. If you want to join others, do that with them. Dear Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. I don't want to go on my own way. Forgive me of my sin, my past mistakes. I want to love you. I want to follow you. I want to serve you for the rest of my days. I want to live for all eternity with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we applaud each and every one that's made that decision? Thank you. So many of you raised hands. Some of you, I may not have seen your hand because you might have been sitting down behind someone that's standing. And I think there were some people that you know who you are. And Jesus in his arms of love reached out to you and you prayed that prayer. If you prayed that prayer and raised your hand, or you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, we want to give you a Bible. Step one was praying the prayer. Step two is make sure you get a Bible, a beautifully illustrated Bible that will mark the occasion. Even if you already have a Bible, it's an opportunity to connect with someone because we weren't designed to do this life on our own. Just say, hey, yeah, I prayed that prayer. Can I get one of those Bibles? And maybe that person can help you a little bit more or answer some questions on your way out. So they will have seen your hand, hopefully. If not, make sure you go to our Connect Lounge, or some of our team will just be standing in the back waving these, and that you can say, yeah, that was me. I want to get hold of a Bible. Can we applaud again each and every one that raised their hands? Congratulations.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.